This program is brought to you by BibleWayMedia.org, overseen by the Ooligah Church of Christ in Ooligah, Oklahoma. Hello again. We do want to welcome you back to the Uncensored Dads, the Uncensored Word podcast. With me, as always, is Brother Matt Olson, and of course, myself, Russ Earl, and we thank you for being here with us today. This is Redemption Week here on Bible Way Media, and so for our lesson concerning redemption, we're going to the book of Luke, chapter 16, looking at the rich man and Lazarus. And we find this in Luke 16, rather, verses 19 through about verse 31 there. And you find this is very interesting. At least to me, it's one of my favorite illustrations, or sometimes we call it parables. So I don't know why I call this one a parable, because there's more to it than just what we would commonly find in a parable, and some of the wording is different things such as that. Sometimes out of habit, I call it a parable, but either way. Anyway, so I begin here in verse 19. You have a situation with a man who's unnamed, this rich man. That's all we need to know, which to me is kind of interesting, because God doesn't care who they are. Rich man, poor man. Lazarus is used here. Now, his name is mentioned specifically, and he is the one, as we know as we go through this, is going to get to go to paradise. But the one who doesn't is just simply the rich man, and very generic there. But, you know, we know, of course, that God is no respecter of persons, meaning he doesn't care who you are, you know, what your status may be in this world, and on and on. He treats everyone the same. Everyone gets the same judgment, the same treatment. But let's look here in verse 19 of Luke 16. The Bible says, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And so we find here this man did very well. He was dressed in fine apparel. Fared sumptuously means he was profiting every day, doing very well, and thus, you know, the title of the rich man is given to him. And then in verse 20, but there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gates, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So we have there two situations mentioned here. The rich man, he is doing very well. He is prospering every day. And Lazarus is basically exactly the opposite. He is suffering. He is full of sores. And I don't know what those sores are. I don't know if other translations, I can't think of them off the top of my head, if they translate that phrase differently or not. But it kind of makes me go back to think about Job, who was covered in sores from head to toe. Lazarus, it says here, he was full of sores. Whether or not that means from head to toe, you know, I don't know. He was in very bad shape here. He was laid at the gate, which shows that he was not going anywhere. The sores had affected him in such a way that he was staying there. And then he was also, we find in verse 21, he was hungry. He simply desired, all he wanted was just basically the crumbs, or we might say the leftovers, the things you would toss out from the rich man's table there in verse 21. And the dogs, the Bible says, came and licked his sores. And so a very detailed description of a man who is in a very poor situation. And then we find in verse 22, the Bible says, so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And so we have a little bit more about Lazarus mentioned there, as it calls him a beggar there in verse well, also back in verse 20, but again here again in verse 22, a beggar. He was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, which we know is reference to paradise. The rich man also died and was buried. And this will be the last thing I say here before I be quiet here, let Matt add anything. But in verse 22, it's interesting to me, the rich man, it just simply says he died and was buried. It doesn't mean that he didn't, as we're going to see here, it doesn't mean that his existence actually stopped there. But we know, as we find in verse 23, he was in torments. But when it came to talking about Lazarus and where he was going, it says there he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. So he was taken to this place of rest. And we see there that being carried by the angels indicates from the moment he passed on, from that moment moving forward, he was in a situation of comfort. And so very interesting things there. And we're going to talk more about this as we go through here. I'm going to pause and Brother Matt add anything he'd like as we continue looking at the rich man and Lazarus. Brother Matt?
Yeah, I like that phrase. It says the rich man also died and was buried. It doesn't, you know, I mean, and we can correlate that with he died, and he basically went to death. He went to damnation, basically. You know, the torment in Hades. We'll get to that in 23. But I think about starting in verse 19, he was clothed in purple and fine linen. Back then, purple was like the extravagant, right? It was just the most extravagant color, the most extravagant thing you could have is anything the color purple, because it took so long to dye and all that. But I don't mean dye as in death. I mean dye as in dyeing something with color. But, I mean, you think about it, is the rich man could have taken care of this beggar. He could have given him food. He could have helped him. Giving him food and maybe taking care of him with the sores. But it seems to me, and I mean, I know it doesn't state in here, it's like the rich man knew he was there and it was just an allowed thing, but he didn't really care to go communicate with him or anything. And I think that, and what's gross to me is, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Man, if you have dogs, they love you and they care for you. And, you know, I don't like my dog licking me, you know, like, but I mean, think about it. If you had all these sores all over and the dogs are licking you, man. Oh, that's torment enough. But I love the phrase. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, you know, and it's just, to me, that just sets, like, the rich man could have been right there in the bosom of Abraham also, if he would have just showed kindness and compassion. But I think this is a, people call this a parable. I don't think it's a parable. I think it's more reality than we think, but that's, we can talk about that another day. But I mean, I think that, you know, it's kind of like our daily lives. Like, I mean, we don't know the background of the rich man. You know, I mean, we know he's rich and it seemed like he didn't care, but I mean, we don't get into detail, but it shows here that the beggar died and was carried to Abraham's bosom, so he was taken care of, you know. So I think that's a thing that we need to be, I guess, we need to look more into, of, you know, trying to take care of those who are less fortunate, I should say. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, as you look here in verse 23, as you pointed out, previously, actually, before we go any further, there's no indication that the rich man tried to do anything to help Lazarus. There's probably a good, I mean, you think about most of these times, if someone was laying down at your gate, would you know they're there? Yeah, you're gonna know they're there.
Yeah.
But you know, he wasn't worried about that very clearly, or otherwise, I think would have mentioned it. And but anyway, if you look here in verse 24. Let me back up, verse 23. So he being in torments, that is the rich man, being in torments in Hades. Hades is a reference to, many times we call Hades is, or torments, we call it a place that's in the Hadean realm, a place where there is torments, and then also there is paradise. The Hadean realm being referenced to where paradise and torments both are. Torments being the location of the wicked, and paradise being the location of the righteous. But he is in torments in Hades, and the Bible says there in verse 23, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And so he could see Abraham, and he could see Lazarus being comforted and having no pain whatsoever, while he was being tormented, as we see in verse 24 in a second. Now, we know there is a separation at death, and there is a final eternal separation at the judgment day. And many times when we talk about the Hadean realm, we'll have torments pictured on one side and a gulf that is in between, which we'll get to here in a moment, and then paradise on the other. And I'm not absolutely certain if this is used to show to teach us a lesson, or a person can literally see across the gulf. This is the only place, to my knowledge, where this type of thing is mentioned. But if you look here in verse 23, he says he could see Lazarus. He could see him being comforted in paradise, or there being referenced as he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, meaning he was there with him, close to him. Verse 24 says, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me It's in Lazarus that he may dip the tip of my finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And so he's calling out for mercy. And again, verse 23 and following, and this could be just something for us to understand the terribleness of torments and the safety and comfort of paradise. Can we literally see one another cross the gulf? This is the only indication here with Lazarus and rich man. This is the only time I know where you actually hear see something like this. But anyway, that's not what our purpose of our study today. We can come back to that another time. But if you look at verse 23, he sees Lazarus being comforted. In verse 24, he calls out and says, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." And so again, he is tormented. He is not in a place of comfort. He is awake. You know, some people, they wanted you to believe that when you when you die, your soul just sleeps until the judgment day. Not for the rich man and not for Lazarus. They were both awake, both in different locations, but both awake. Verse 25 says, "But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented." Now, we want to realize that just because Lazarus suffered in his life doesn't mean that that's why he gets to have paradise as his home. Obviously, if somewhere at some point in his life he had obeyed and followed, he obeyed the word of God at some point. That's the only reason he'd be in paradise, not because he just simply suffered. And again, the rich man was not going to be in torment just because he prospered. Obviously, he had never obeyed the gospel, never had obeyed the word of God, and that's why he is where he's at. And so, so we want to be careful that we don't come away with that idea that they're there because one suffered and one was prospering. That's not the case. But he points out here simply that you were blessed, you enjoyed your comfort. Lazarus was tormented, but he is here now and you're there now. Basically, the idea there is where you're at does not change. You are where you are and he is where he is, and there's no changing that. There's no, jumping the gulf. There was a movie, years ago. I remember it was a long time ago, so I was dating Lisa, so it's been a while. You don't need to know how long. But it was called What Dreams May Come, and it's a very odd movie. It had Robin Williams in it. But the idea was this man's wife had committed – I believe she committed suicide. And when Robin Williams – or maybe she died and he committed suicide. I forget the story. Anyway, well, the story was that basically he goes to heaven, I think what it was, and she must have committed suicide, and she went to hell. I can't remember, whatever. Anyway, the story, I'm getting off topic, was that he was going to leave hell or leave heaven and travel and find her in hell and bring her out. No, that doesn't happen, right? I mean, that's the best way to describe it. But that's when I watched that movie. And I watched it with Lisa and her father-in-law. If you know her father-in-law, you can imagine how that went over with him. But a long time ago, okay? But we watched that movie, and it gave you an idea of how some people view afterlife. People have all kinds of crazy ideas. You cannot, first of all, if you go to heaven, you're not going to want to leave it. And second, you can't. And there's no way to travel to another place and bring someone out.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, but people have all kinds of ideas. What we find here, though, is that by Lazarus saying what he does and Abraham saying what he does is that there's no way of coming out. And I'm going to read one more verse here, and then I'll stop for a second. But verse 26 says, this is again Abraham speaking, "And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us." And so you have this great gulf, this great division. There's no crossing over. There's no rescuing someone or dragging someone out. There's none of that. He says, he literally says word for word, "so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us." You are where you are. There's nothing that can change it. Lazarus can't come to you, and you can't come to us. So I'm going to stop there for just a moment with that mad addict thing you like here.
Hey, if you've ever been to the Grand Canyon, think of the Grand Canyon on steroids. That's what I think about, right? That great soul, But you brought up a lot of good things, and I think about that as, if we're going to be in paradise, we're not going to be seeing the torment. You know, I've also thought about this too, of, you know, the rich man, though he, like you stated, though he is rich, doesn't mean he, you know, just because he was rich or just because he was, you know, the poor man was poor, that they, you know, one went to heaven or one went to torment and the other went to paradise. Now, but the Pharisees believed that. They thought that the more money you made, the better off you were, the better in society you were. But, you know, it doesn't matter how much money you have, or, you know, there could be a billionaire who's a Christian and a poor man who's a Christian also. You know, they're both going to be judged the same way. But I think about the torment and the paradise, and, you know, we can go to Luke 23, and when Jesus was talking to the thief on the cross, and he said, Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." And we think about paradise and torment. I think about the rich man. He could see paradise. That would be a torment in itself, wouldn't it? You know, you're sitting in the fiery, you know, the hell, basically, and he's going, I just dip your finger in water and give me some. I mean, that's torment enough. But I also think that, you know, Lazarus, I don't think he could see the rich man. I think he was in paradise. He was in Abraham's bosom. He was loving it. You know, he wasn't in torment anymore. I mean, he wasn't in torment of the world anymore. And we think about that too, is we think that, oh yeah, we can see different things and see different people. And it's like, no, we can't. We really, you're not going to be able to. And like you said, is that movie where they leave heaven. We're not going to want to leave heaven. There's no tears in heaven, right? There's no tears in heaven. Why would you want to leave? And I also think about this too, is, you know, we might know certain people there up in heaven. I don't know. I'm just throwing this out there. But if we know that somebody isn't there, you know, would we know or would we not? Because wouldn't we be sad? If there's no tears in heaven, we're going to be happy that we are in the grace, in the light of God. That's the thing. And that is in itself amazing. But also think of this, like you talked about the goal fixed. I mean, man, that's a huge goal. And there ain't no way out of paradise. There ain't no way out of torment. You know, crisscrossing those two, it ain't going to happen, man. There's no way. There's no way.
Yeah, you know, and there's a lot of people, well, I say a lot of people, or I'm sure some people say, well, I'm sure there's, you know, it's like that goofy movie I mentioned that, you know, trying to go into pull them out, you know, whether that's kind of their idea was kind of, well, there's a will, there's a way. No, if God decides you're not going to cross over, that's it. And so, you know, it's not going to happen. But we have this division, and really, you know, we don't want to have to be careful. We don't want to get bogged down on the details, but we see that there's a great there's a separation. You know, they die, and there's already a separation, but even before the judgment. Lazarus is being comforted. The rich man who had not, you know, he's there for a reason. He hadn't obeyed, and so he's in torment. And yep. And like you said, he's asking for just a drip, you know, a drop of water. And you know, if you ever been outside working in the summer heat, mowing the yard, doing whatever it is, and you come inside and you grab that big glass of water, you know, sometimes I come in, if I'm not paying attention, I get carried away, I get really hot, and I come in and I go straight, you know, to the glass and to the faucet and get a glass of water if I say or do anything else. And here you get the picture of the rich man being much worse off than that, and there was nothing, not even a drop, you know. I can't imagine that being the case, you know, being out getting hotter or being in a flame and being exposed to extreme heat and then nothing. And the heat never ended. And we could go in more detail because, I mean, we know he mentioned there in verse 24, he says, "I am tormented in this flame," which would indicate that there's not just heat, but there is actually the idea there of him being in flames. You know, that it's called torment for a reason. You know, so we look down here, we read verse 25. He was comforted, rich man, Lazarus now being comforted, rich man now being tormented. Verse 26, there's a big gulf. There's no one crossing over. And then verse 27 following is where I want to focus for the last few minutes here as we look at this, because this is where we get into more of the rich man begins to ask for something else. First, it was water. Now it's something else. Looking at verse 27, then he said, "I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house." He says, "For I have five brothers, that he may testify to me, lest they come And that's, they also come to this place of torment. So his first is bring me relief. And then it was, you know what? If I can't get out and I can't be getting relief, I definitely don't want anyone else here with me. And that's what I think of verse 27 and 28 is that that rich man, the last thing he wanted is his family there with him, which should tell us something as well, that when we think about those who we've lost over the years, and, you know, people will say, you know, my grandmother or my grandfather, or, you know, whoever it was, grew up this way. I'm going to follow the same teaching they did. I think about the rich man. What did he want? He wanted them to not come there. And the reason he was there was because he hadn't obeyed. Because when people die, they're going to find out immediately by their destination if they are right or wrong. And so what we have to realize is, you know what, if your loved ones have passed on, and this is where people get a little bit sticky about this, because this is going to condemn those who have passed on who are living in error. But we have to come to reality sometimes, realize that sometimes our loved ones who have passed on were living in error, and us by following their tradition isn't going to make them okay. Doesn't change their doesn't change where they're at. And so we should think to ourselves, where would our loved ones want us to be? Well, if they're anything like the rich man, it's not where he is. And so he says, for I have five brothers there, in verse 28, he says that he may testify to them, lest they also come this place of torment. He wants his brothers to be rescued from coming to where he is. Do you have anything you want to add, Matt, before I move on here?
Yeah, like you said, I mean, you know, he's asking for something. He couldn't get the water or whatever, and he's asking for something else. And, I mean, I know we're going to go into it too, but Abraham's saying, man, you've already had these things. But you think about, like, maybe our relatives that have passed who have been in a denominational world, and, you know, and or maybe you've had relatives who have not followed the gospel, and, you know, they may be tormented. They don't want you there. They don't want you in the same torment that they're in. You know, they're going, of course they would love to try and talk to you and communicate back with you, but we know that we can't. It can't happen. And it won't ever happen that way, you know? So, and I know we're going to get into it 29, 30, 31, where he's like, no, Abraham's saying, you've had these people. You've heard, your brothers already had Moses and the prophets and different things, you know?
Yeah, they have the tools, and they have the ability to hear already. That's why Abraham, like you said, is going to make mention of there in verse 29 and following. But it's interesting to me because, you know, at first you see where this man, you know, he's almost looking, previous to this, he almost looks to Lazarus as if for some reason he's still a servant of his, you know, just send him over here. It doesn't work that way. But then it changes real quickly. It's like reality sets in, kind of like the prodigal son when he, as the Bible says, when he came to himself and realized, I got to repent and go back. Well, it seems like here he had one of those moments where the rich man came to himself and says, you know what, you got to go warn somebody. You got to go warn, you know, he doesn't want anybody there with him. And so you find there, to me, some of the most terrifying words you find is in verse 27 to 28, where he says, send to my father's house, for I have five brothers. He's concerned about them. Now, notice he doesn't know what they're doing. He doesn't know their present activity, because we hear people today say a lot. And one of the shows, reality shows I watch sometimes, one of the members there, or one of the people on that show, they had a father die or something. And at some point, you'll hear different times and say, oh, you know, I know they're watching over me, blah, blah, blah. They're looking at me, blah, blah, blah. That doesn't say that in verse 27 and 28. He doesn't say someone go see them, you know, stop them what they're doing. He doesn't mention either current activities because he doesn't know them. He doesn't know what is currently going on. But he does know that when he died, that his brothers were not doing what was right. He doesn't know anything after that. You know, I think it's Proverbs that tells us that, you know, once we die, that we have no memory, remembrance of what's going on earth, being the idea being we have nothing, no idea what's going on moving forward. He knew his brothers and their current situation. And so he's asking for someone to go to them, you know, someone go and stop them from coming here. Yeah. And then, like Matt mentioned before, in verse 29 and following, Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And some people might think, skeptics, I think, might say, you know what, that's pretty hard. That's pretty cold. That's pretty hard-hearted. No, it's not. Abraham's saying, look, they have the tools already. They have the means of hearing already. And in verse 30, you kind of hear more of the pleading of the rich man. He says, "No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them and from the dead, they will repent." But he said to him, verse 31, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rise from the dead." And how sad it is. You know, those, I think, are probably the most terrifying words that the rich man ever heard, probably throughout his entire existence. Because where he is now, he's going to remember that idea that there's no one to send. They have the messengers already there. They have the word already there, the truth already there. And so all he can do is really just hope and sit there and hope and that they never come.
Yeah.
Anything you want to add to that?
Yeah. I mean, you think about it is, you know, that is, oh man, he's got no hope of, you know, he's in torment. And, you know, if they're not going to see the Moses, they're not going to see the prophets. And it says in verse 31, it says, "Neither will they be persuaded though one rise from the dead." Well, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. They're not going to believe it. Most of the Pharisees and all them didn't believe it anyway. So, mm-hmm. You know, Abraham, and people may think, well, that's harsh of Abraham. No, it's not. It's what we deal with. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, we have to obey. We can't just live our life and then death comes knocking on the door and we like decide to switch. You know, I mean, you have to be, they have the tools.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't go from one, like the movie you brought up, you know, you can't go from heaven to hell, bring somebody out from hell to, you know, it doesn't work that way. You know, this isn't a fantasy movie or anything like
mm-hmm.
that.
So. You know, and also this teaches us the importance of obedience before it is too late. You know, think about Felix in Acts, I think it's Acts 24:25, where he tells Paul to go away, have a more convenient time. You notice the rich man died and he never had a convenient time in his mind, right? And now he is hoping, he's just hoping that someone warns his brothers and that his brothers listen. And so when you think about this in redemption, I mean, you see redemption and the importance of it all throughout this with the rich man and Lazarus, because we want to be, you know, unless Christ returns and we go to the judgment prior to that, then we want to make sure that we go to paradise and then to the heavenly home. Right. But if we wait, if we put it off, if we decide to refuse, we decide to listen to the world, we decide to listen to denominationalism, on and on the list may go, we're going to find ourselves in the position that the rich man is in, begging for someone to go to warn others and our family. And we do not want that to happen. Okay, do you have anything you want to add before we close today?
Nope, we just got to keep on keeping on.
Yep.
What we got to do.
We got to remember why, you know, the rich man, why he was where he was and why Lazarus was where he was. One obeyed.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you're rich and you're going to go to torment and you're mm-hmm. poor, you're going to rise, you know, up to paradise. No, it doesn't mean that at all. It's all how you live here on this earth.
Yep. So. Well, we do thank you for listening today. We do hope you've enjoyed this program. We do hope you've enjoyed this lesson for Redemption Week. We encourage you to listen to all the lessons this week as they all focus on redemption. And we hope you have a great rest of your day and hope you'll share this with others. And we hope to see you again next time. We thank you for tuning in today. We hope you enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Bible Wave Media by visiting us at BibleWaveMedia.org. You can also find us on several social media platforms now. We hope you enjoyed this program. We hope you will share with others. And as always, we thank you for listening.